Yerushalmi Shvi'is, Perek Hei Halacha Beis. This Mishnah is going to talk about, it's really going to be broken into two or three parts, talking about a vegetable called luf, which is a type of an onion, the variation of an onion, and the Gemara is going to explain some of the unusual properties about this onion, about how it stays in the ground for a very long time. We'll talk about the vegetable, the part that's in the ground, and the leaves that grow out of it. Before we starting, it's worth mentioning three different halachas that have to do with shvi'is, which really haven't been mentioned too much until now. And they are, that are going to have to do with the Mishnah and the Gemara that's going to follow. And the three things are as follows. The first is that the Torah says that anything that grows during Shemitah is permitted. You're allowed to eat it. But the Chachamim, or we're going to see, the assuming is that the Gemara, that the Chachamim say that there's an issur called svichin, things that grew by themselves, vegetables that grew by themselves, that started to grow during Shemitah, those vegetables are usher. Now, really, when I tell you, they should be mutter if they grew by themselves. I mean, you know, just they grew wildly without anybody planting them, they should be mutter. But the Chacham Asr, ones that started to grow during Shemitah, because they were concerned that people would plant things and pretend as if they had grown by themselves. So Chacham Asr things, and those are called Svichin, and those are for things that started their growing during Shemitah. I mentioned a few times that the Chacham said this. The Gemara is actually going to talk about that, whether it's an Isser from the Chacham or not. But the general assumption is that it's Asr Midrabanan. Svichin Asr, because it'll look like some people will think that you planted it on Shemitah. That's one thing. Second is, items that are considered the produce of Shvi'is, those items, those foods, have special kedusha to them. And among the halachas of the things that have special kedusha is that they can't be wasted, they can't be sold, they can't be taken out of Eretz Yisrael. Certain special halachas to those items, those are called to have kedusha Shvi'is. How do we decide if something is a fruit of Shvi'is or not? So we've had in earlier Mishnahs that different items, different classes of items have different rules as to when, how they classify them as being a produce of Shvi'is. For our purposes, our Mishnah and Gemara are going to be talking about vegetables, and the rule for vegetables is it goes when they're harvested. So if they're harvested during Shvi'is, they have Kedusha Shvi'is. If they're harvested after Shvi'is, they don't have Kedusha Shvi'is. It completely depends on the time when you did the harvest, as opposed to other things. Fruits and grains have different rules as to how you determine which year they belong to. But for vegetables, which is what we need, ones that were harvested during Shvi'is are the ones that have Kedusha Shvi'is. And the last thing is, there's a halacha that fruit of Shvi'is are permitted to be eaten. And the halacha is anyone can take as much as they want to, but there comes a certain point when there's no more available for out in the fields. The fields have become empty and people can't find too much anymore. At that point, there's a mitzvah of biur, which is, for our purposes, we're going to learn that biur means that you're mechuyev to take any produce that you have in your house and put it out and make it hefker out in the street. And the Gemara is going to talk about what happens once after you make it hefker, who's allowed to take it afterwards. But the mitzvah of biur is that when there's no more available out in the public for people to take, out in the fields for people to take, if you have any collected fruits in your house that have kedusha shvi'is, you have to make biur and put them out and make their hefker, because you're no longer allowed to hold all those fruits by yourselves. Okay. So now let's start the Mishnah. Hatoymen as haluf b'shvi'is. Someone has luf and he wants to store it away. This is not a person who wants to plant them. He just wants to store them in the ground. This first part of the Mishnah, he's not planting. He's just keeping them in the ground. But the problem is that if you put luf into the ground, people will think that you're planting it. So you have to do it in a way that makes it obvious that you're not trying to plant them. You're just using them. You're doing some underground storage. So Rameir says, L'yifchas misasayim. There's a few rules of what you have to do. First of all, you can't put in less than 2 sa'al worth of luf. A considerable amount of luf has to be put into the ground. I'd go over shlosha tvachim. It has to be, the pile has to be 3 tvachim tall, not a foot tall. The tefach ofra agabav, and then you have to put a tefach of a couple inches, 3-4 inches worth of ofra of dirt on top of it, and all those things make it obvious that you're not trying to plant it. When people try to plant, they don't put in a whole 2 saw worth of loaf. They don't put so many piled on top of each other. They don't put so much dirt on top of it. All those three things show that the person is not trying to plant it. And he's just using storing it on the ground, and therefore it's mutter. Chacham say you do have to do things, but not as much. You only have to do four kav, which is much less than is less than two saw. I'd go have a tefach. You only have to make it a tefach tall, not three tefachim tall. The tefach for a gabum, and but they agree you should also put a tefach of dirt on top of it. The time that we mark Jesus Adam, and another thing is you should put it in a place where people will trample, and that is to say you put it in a place people walk back and forth. Anyone who's trying to plant something that's going to grow, they plant it where people do not walk, because the walking will prevent the plants from growing well. So by storing your loaf in a place where people are going to walk back and forth, that shows again that you're not trying to plant it, you're just trying to use it for storage. And therefore, that's how you could put it into the ground to be mutter. Okay, so that's the first part of the mission. Someone who is not planting it. Now, the next part of the mission is as follows. Luf, sha'avra luf shvias. Luf that was in the ground for shvias. Gemara is going to have different opinions as to what exactly the case is over here, but it's in the ground. Revelation Armor, and loktu hanim as olav loktu. If the hanim took the leaves, then they've taken them. Whatever leaves they've taken, they've gotten. That is to say, those leaves, it's shvius produce. If they got the leaves that grew out of the ground, they get them, they can keep them. If the neem did not get the leaves, then you have to make a cheshbon the neem. In other words, after shvius, at a certain point, there'll be more growth. That some of the other growth does not belong to the neem. Some of it does belong to the neem. So you have to make a cheshbon with the neem. You have to work out with them how much of the growth is yours and how much is theirs. Some they get and some you don't get. We're not really explaining it very well, because the Gemara is going to have three different explanations as to exactly what it was. It says, and Rabbi Shua, if the Aniyim took the leaves, then they got them. If the Aniyim did not get the leaves, they don't have anything. Okay, so it's a machlokes. They both agree that if the Aniyim took the leaves, they get them. But what happens if they didn't take the leaves? Then Laser holds that they should make a cheshbon afterwards. That is the old Aniyim. So part is theirs and part is yours. If not, then you, and Rabbi Shua says they get nothing. So it's a machlokas. The Gemara is going to have three different opinions as to what this machlokas is. Next, the Mishnah says, what happens if you had luf that was planted before shvias and it stayed in the ground into shvias? And also regular onions that are kaitzen, because of the kaitz from the word summer. The summer onions, that is to say, they're planted later in the summer, and they stay in the ground until Rosh Hashanah, which is right after the summer. The chen puah shel yidis. Puah is a certain a vegetable that's used for dyeing, that it that grows in shel yidis, grows in very fine fields, and it also grows in the end of the summer. So it grew into shvias. So Beshamer said, when you uproot them from the ground, when you take them out of the ground, you have to do so with a shovel, a wooden kind of a shovel, which is to say you have to show that you're not trying to, you're pulling these out of the ground and you're allowed to eat them, they're not tzvichim because they were planted from before Rosh Hashanah, but you're allowed to when you pull them out of the ground, you have to do it in a way that shows you're not trying to toil the ground, and you therefore use this special shovel made out of wood that nobody would use for work on the ground. And you're just really using it to get these vegetables out from under the ground. So I mean, because you could use a regular shovel, but the shovel made out of metal, and at first glance, Basil appears to be saying that you don't have to make anything special to show that you're not trying to work the ground, but in truth, we're going to see in the Gemara that the Gemara is going to imply that even Beis Hillel holds you could only do it with a karda, which is a certain kind of shovel, but you can't do it in the typical way that you cut the food out of the vegetables out of the ground. So Beis Shammai said you have to do an even stronger hecker, a stronger way of showing that you don't mean it by using a wooden one. Umoydin. And Beis Hillel agrees, Beis Shammai agrees, the poor shall tzlois. If you have poor that grows in a rocky field, so over there, no one's going to think that you're trying to, it's much less reason to think you're working the ground, because it's a rocky area. People don't really work that ground to plant in. You could use a kardim, even Beis Shammai agrees, you could use a shovel made out of metal, because it's not really, no one's really going to suspect that you're trying to work the ground in that place. Okay. Rest of the Mishnah says, "Me'emisai muta adam lita chaluf b'matzoy shvius." Someone has luft that was in the ground and did to matzoy shvius. So, I'm sorry. A person wants, I take that back, a person wants to buy luft right after shvius is over. So, if it's luft that grew during shvius, it would be usher as Svechim, because it was planted during Shvius. So he wants to buy right after Shvius. He wants to know if he's getting produce that's not from Shvius. He wants to get the produce that was planted after Shvius. So Rabbi Yehuda says he can buy it right away. Chacham says he should wait until there's more new luft that was planted in the 8th year, until there's more new luft than old luft, and that's when he can buy it. So of course the Shita, that's going to be hard to understand. Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda say he can buy it right away? How can he buy it right after Rosh Hashanah of the 8th year? Why doesn't he have to suspect that what he's buying on right then is produce of the 7th year? The Gemara is going to explain it towards the end. Okay. Time in a sub-off. The Mishnah had talked about a person who was storing his luft on the ground and gave rules of what he should do. So the Rishonim starts with this. Akedon luft. Until now, the Mishnah explains what you're supposed to do with luf. What about betzalim? What about the, so to speak, the regular betzalim? Luf is a variation of onions. What about plain onions? Excuse me, what are the rules about how much you have to put into the ground if you want to store them in the ground? Rabbi Yonah, he luf, he betzalim. Rabbi Yonah says that luf and betzalim have the same rules to them, and you have to do, as per the Machlokes Mishnah, you have to put a certain amount into the ground, etc., to show that you're not trying to play the number. Rabbi Yosef argues, "Mustav Reb Tzolim, I feel pachos mikan." The truth is that no, when it's a plain onion, you can put even a smaller amount. Why the inun shafin? Because the inun shafin, because as Reb Chaim Kansky learns, it means is the inun shafin means they're smooth. And the regular onions are more smooth, and you could fit more onions into a smaller pile. So the point of all these piles is to have a lot of onions in there, and everyone will realize you're not trying to plant them. You don't plant so many things on top of each other. So when you're doing plain onions, you can get away with a smaller amount than if you're doing luft, because that smaller volume of onions is a larger quantity of onions, and therefore it'll be obvious that you're not trying to plant. Okay. Lufts are luft shvius. Now we have a luft that went through shvius. So the Gemara is going to have three explanations as to what the machlok is here in the Mishnah. What's the case, and therefore what's the machlok is. So the first one is like this: Rav Avol b'shem Rav Yochanan, Asya. Rav Avol says from Rav Yochanan the following. This is how he understands it: Rabbi Yehuda Krablazer, Rabbi Yosi Krabishua. In our Mishnah, has Krablazer, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shua, and he says that they're arguing about another machlokes, a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, which is what? The Tanya that we learned. The Tanya Tama that we learned elsewhere. Haniyim, it's going to be a mission later on. Haniyim, and this is a machlokes, what do you do if the beer? If the beer happens, what's the din of the fruit? The beer was, again, after there's no more available out in the field. Anyone who has produce in the house has to put it out and make it hefker. So what's the din after they make it hefker? So the din is, Haniyim, Ochlin, Ois, Achar, Beer, Avaloya, Shirin, De Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Aniyim can eat it, and the Ashirim cannot eat it, meaning it becomes Hefker, but only for people who are Aniyim, but the owner of the field is not allowed to go back and take it. Only poor people are allowed to take it. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Echad Aniyim v'Echad Ashirim, Echad Achad Beer, anyone can eat after the beer. So, therefore, in our Mishnah, when it says, Rabbi Lezer says, Yasi Mecheshben in Aniyim, he should make a cheshbon with the aniyim. That means it's talking about that it was after the beer. And Rabbi Lezer says that so the part that was from Shemitah that belongs to the aniyim. The part that grew after Shemitah belongs to the anybody. And therefore, see, he holds only aniyim can only get like he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda who says that only the aniyim could eat it after the beer. So the produce that had beer to it, the luft that had beer to it, only the aniyim could have it. That's what happened in the Mishnah. The person had done beer, and the aniyim could eat that part. The part that grows later, anyone could have. So the owner keeps. So he splits it with them, or he makes some kind of a cheshbon with them of how much he owes them, because part of the leaves belongs to the aniyim, and part belongs to the owner. Rabbi Shua holds that after beer, anybody could eat it. So therefore, after the owner made beer, if no one took it before then the aniyim don't get anything, because then now beer happened to it. Anybody can take it. Anybody includes the owner, and the owner can take it, and therefore he owes them nothing. So that's how Rabbi Bo Mishurim Yochan holds what the machlokes is. The machlokes is that our Mishnah took that some of the beer, he did beer to this loaf, and then more of it grew afterwards. So the beer that he did to the loaf, now it's a machlokes whether the Aniyim are entitled to it, or the Aniyim have no special rights afterwards. So now, that was what Rabbi Shem Yochanan said. So Rabbi Imi Bog Kumi Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Imi asked a question to Rabbi Yochanan on this pshat. So is our Mishnah talking about before they made a gzeirah of svichin, meaning svichin or asa midrabanan, and maybe is our Mishnah talking about before they were gozer that? Why is he saying that? He's saying that because what would we be talking about that there are luf that grew at the end of Shemitah that are mutter, and we're talking about whether there's beer on them and things like that. Well, luf is a vegetable. Vegetables are also a svichin. A luf that's grown at the end of Shemitah was started to grow on Shemitah. That means if it started to grow on Shemitah, it should be also a svichin. So how could it be that we're talking about that it had beer and anim could eat and different people can anon could eat it? It's svichin. Svichin are completely also. So is our Mishnah talking about before the gzeirah of svichin happened, which is to say, and therefore nowadays that we have an isser of svichin, then our whole Mishnah is not true anymore. So nowadays it wouldn't be true. Amalei's Rabbi Yochanan said, were you in the attic? As we mentioned, in the attic is the Chacham used to meet in an attic and made certain takanas there. So he says, were you in the attic when they made a takana? And the Ralph Fulton says that means to say is, who said that there was a gzer altogether? And so some Ravimi understood from what Rabbi Yochanan just said that Issa Svichin Torah, that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Issa Svichin is an Issa Midaraisa. In other words, and therefore, when Ravini had said maybe Amish is from before the Xera, that implies that it was Xera. And Birchman said, maybe it's not Xera. And Ravini understood him to say, in other words, maybe it's Asher Midaraisa. So that then, therefore, is not the Pshat in the Mishnah. And when our Mishnah talks about, according to what we had said, when our Mishnah talked about that there was beer done to it, it's not because it was before the Xera of Svichim. There's something else going on in our Mishnah because Svichim might not even be only the Rabbanan, it might be the Raisa completely. So we're sort of now back to our question, which is, basically stuck with our question, why isn't it an Isra of Svichim on these loaf? So I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, it says, the pshat is like this, but Ali Luf Shaita, he must say, so our Mishnah is not talking about regular loaf, we're talking about Luf Shaita. What is Luf Shaita? Luf Shaita is a loaf that can stay in the ground for an really extended amount of time, and therefore this loaf that's here at the end of Shemitah, that's going to grow after Shemitah into the eighth year, is a loaf that was in the ground from the sixth year. It has been put into the ground from the sixth year, and therefore the root, the part that's in the ground stays the same size, and the leaves keep on growing. So the point is that therefore that's not considered svichin. Svichin are only things that were planted that started to grow during shviyas. If this started to grow before shviyas, it's not svichin, and therefore it has kedusha shviyas. So you wanted to know how could it be that there's loaf growing at the end of shmita that's not an isser of svichin. It's not because this is before the gzeirah of svichin. It's because this is a special kind of loaf that's been in the ground for a really extended amount of time, and therefore it has no isser of svichin because it was growing from before shmita. So on that, I see Rabbi Hoshia, my sister, on the back of the drama. Rabbi Hoshia brought a brisa from this person, the Tani, and that brisa says the Tani Ali Luf Ali Betzalim. It says over the din of our mission, but it doesn't just say Luf. It says Luf and Betzalim. Okay, it says two cases. Our mission had just the case of Luf. That brisa has Luf and Betzalim. So is Luchmim Ali Betzalim Hashaitim? Is there such a thing as Ali Betzalim Hashaitim? If the only pshat in the Mishnah is that these are Luf that have been in the ground since before Shemitah, then that only works for a Luf Shaita. But because this is the unusual Luf that grows for such a long amount of time. But there's no such thing as regular Betzalim that stayed in for so long. So it's a kashan on Rabbi Yirmiyah that, excuse me, how could you say that the only pshat in the Mishnah is that it's a Luf Shaita? When how can you say it's only a Luf Shaita when we have a brisa that says that talks about Betzalim also? So that's a kasha Rabbi Yirmiyah. Okay, so obviously the answer to that is the Yerushalmi doesn't say, but the answer would be is that Rabbi Yirmiyah will hold that our Mishnah says Luf specifically for Luf. Okay, and therefore he'll understand that our Mishnah is talking only about this case. Okay, so no said Rabbi Yirmiyah Amra. So now the Yerushalmi is, do we see from Rabbi Yirmiyah that Davi Sheish Leibir Shnimtze B'Sach Davi Shein Leibir Yesh Leibir? Do we see that if you have a mixture of something that needs beer with something that doesn't need beer, that you have to do beer to the whole thing? Why would we seek it from Rabbi Yirmiyah? Because the luf shaita that's in the ground was in there from before Shemitah. That luf shaita hasn't changed during Shemitah. It has no chiyuv biur, because it's not a produce of Shemitah. So, but the leaves did grow during Shemitah, and the leaves do have a chiyuv of biur on them. So do we see that if you have now this plant that has leaves from Shemitah, and the roots that are not from Shemitah, that the whole thing is chayv and beer, and that is to say, because our whole mission is, according to this pshat, our whole mission is dependent on something that needs beer on it. And the whole machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda, the whole machlokes of the two people in our mission has to do with something that needs beer. So, ma'av the Rabbi Yehuda, so is that true? So, ma'av the Rabbi Yehuda, will Rabbi Yehuda have some way to get around this? So the Gemara says, yes, possible, but Shashikif Balan, he can answer this, talking about that the person ripped off the leaves. He had separated the leaves from the plant on Shavuos, at the end of Shemitah, and therefore that those leaves are for sure chayv and beer, and they're not at that point considered to be something chayv and beer connected to something that's not chayv and beer. So then they become separated things, and at that point they're chayv and beer according to everybody. Okay, so that was our first answer of the Gemara, was that the Mishnah is talking about that the leaves have had beer to them. It's a machlokes where the things that have beer are only belong to Tanim and Ashirim, and that's what the Mishnah depends on. That's what the Machlokes of the Mishnah is. Now the second and third shot are going to be very similar to each other. They're just going to have a certain variation to that. Rabbi Yosef Paslam Asisim with Ne Rosh Hashanah Hashviyas or Bishviyas. Rabbi Yosef says like this. What happened was, it was planted before Rosh Hashanah, and Metalith Ne Rosh Hashanah Hashviyas, you planted it before Rosh Hashanah of the 7th year, so in the 6 years. And Asu Beitzim of Ne Shviyas, it already had grown leaves before Shviyas. For Rikhnai or for Dichnai, there are two ways. That word is going to come up a number of times, and the Girsa is either with a Reish or a Dalet in all these cases. We'll just say for Rikhnai B'Shviyas, and you had trampled it on Shviyas. And Akrab Matoy Shvius, and then you completely pulled it out of the ground after Shvius was over. In Tamar Rikun Ki Ikur, if you'll say that trampling is as if you uprooted it from the ground, then Kululaniyam, then the leaves belong completely to Laniyam. Why? Because if the trampling of it is considered to be pulling it out of the ground, I guess that in some way the trampling makes it stop growing or something to make it be considered out of the ground, then it belongs completely to Laniyam. Why? Because then it's the produce of Shvius. The produce of Shvius is Hefker, and the Anim can take it. So one person in the Mishnah holds since the Rikun was done on Shvius, it's completely Hefker, and it belongs to Anim because in Tamar, in Rikun Kikur, if we say that Rikun is not like uprooting from the ground, and Kulanim doesn't belong to the Niyam because then it was actually ripped out of the ground, physically ripped out of the ground after Shvius. If it's pulled out of the ground after Shvius, it's not produce of Shvius. As we had said, produce of Shvius for vegetables is judged by when they're taken, when they have lakita, when they're harvested. And therefore, if it wasn't pulled out of the ground until it wasn't harvested until after Shvius, it's not Shvius produce at all. Then Nemo, nothing belongs to the owner of the field. So Misafik, so the second time it says, the first time it says, Misafik, yes, a Cheshbin Aniyam, we're not sure. And therefore, we have to make a Cheshbin Aniyam, how much belongs to them, how much belongs to, and how much belongs to the owner. Okay, so the machlokes in our Mishnah has to do with whether this Rikun is considered to be harvesting. The Rikun was done in a way, was done on Shvius. The Rikun was done on Shvius, and therefore the question is, if that Rikun is considered like it was harvested, then it was harvested on Shvius, and it has the special rules of Shvius to it. If not, then it doesn't. Now, the Mar's next answer, Rav Chizkiya, which is very similar to Rav Yosi, the same idea, Pasul Mar's Nisan. And there's many girses in how to read this Gemara. And we'll say it like this, Chizkiya Pasul Mar's Nisan, that Erev Rosh Hashanah Shvius. He's talking about Erev Rosh Hashanah Shvius, and it means like this. Not that Erev Rosh Hashanah Shvius, for us, the Dichnai Erev Shvius, I'm sorry, it grew before Shvius, the Dichnai Erev Shvius, and you did the Dichon in this case on Erev Shvius. That is to say, you trampled it before Shemitah had started, but Akroi Sof Shvius, and then you pulled it out of the ground later in Shvius. So what happened is, so now if the dichun is considered to be akira, if dichun is considered to be, in a harvest and lakita, then it was had lakita before shvius. So therefore, in tam dikun ki ikur, if you say that dikun, that rikun is like pulling it out of the ground, kula baal bayis, it belongs completely to the owner because it was pulled out before shvius. It was pulled out in the sixth year. And lefikach in laniim kashim, so that laniim get nothing in tam in dikun ki ikur. If you say that dikun is not like pulling it out of the ground, ain but baal bayis kum, then it all belongs to the laniim because then it's perish of shvius because it was actually pulled out of the ground on shvius. So the machlokes according to the second pshat is that the dikun was happened before shvius. Okay, so the second and third pshat are very similar in that the machlokes is dependent on whether trampling it has the din of lakita pulling it out of the ground. The second pshat had said was that dikun happened on shvius and the actual pulling out of the ground was after shvius. The third pshat was that the dikun happened before shvius and the pulling out of the ground happened on shvius. And depending on whether the dikun is or is not, lakita will tell us as whether it has kedusha shvius. If it happened before shvius or on shvius, the dikun happened before or on shvius, and the lakita happened either on or after shvius. And depending on which one it was, will depend on that big machlokes in the Mishnah. Okay. So now the Gemara just gives like sort of like a summary of how you make the cheshbon. Also, if the wolf stayed in the ground for 3 years after Shemitah, nosin laniim raiva, so then laniim shear is a quarter because it grew during Shemitah, and for 3 years afterwards, so the laniim get a quarter. Shtei shanim, if it stayed for 2 years in the ground after Shemitah, nosin laniim shlish, then the laniim get a third because it was 1 year during Shemitah and 2 years after Shemitah, then shana achas, and if it stayed in the ground 1 year after Shemitah, nosin laniim mechsa, then the laniim get half. Because 1 year of Shemitah and 1 year not Shemitah, and therefore that's the split. Okay, so now the Yerushalmi just summarizes the last two Shittos, which was Rabbi Yosef Pasam Asis and Erev Hashanah Shvius, Rabbi Chizkiyahu Pasam Asis and Erev Hashanah Shvius. So the Rabbi Yosef said that the Machlokes was when the Dikun happened before Rosh Hashanah in the end of the seventh year. And Chizki said that it was talking about that the Dikun happened on Erev Rosh Hashanah of Shvius, meaning Erev Rosh Hashanah before Shvius. And that was the two Shittas, but they were two very similar Shittas. Okay, now the way we're going to learn the Gemara, the next line, before the two that the Lush Lush Shvius is not here, we'll take that line out. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to ask a Shaila, so Yerushalmi is going to ask a Shaila on the Shittas. Rabun Bachia, Baal Kumi Rab Zera, he asked the question as follows. According to these last two sheets that we just summarized, that the shat machlok said to do with dikun, and whether it is dikun considered to be pulling it out of the ground or not pulling it out of the ground, at b'shnei shvukin, then the same rule should be on any other year, which is to say if we have luf growing, and someone did dikun, they trampled on it in a way that might be considered like pulling it out of the ground, there should be a machlokes. And so does that be considered pulled out of the ground? And that is to say, the year that something grows in is not only important to know whether it has the din of kedusha shvius, it also is important for the din of Trumas or Meiser. That Trumas or Meiser also has different rules for different years. As we mentioned earlier, Meiser Sheni is the secondary Meiser is Meiser Sheni during the first, second, during the first and second year, and the fourth and fifth year that you bring take Meiser Sheni, and during the third and the sixth year, you give Meiser Ani. So it makes a difference to us which year the luf grew in. Did it go in the second or the third or the fourth year to decide whether it's chayav ma'aser sheni or ma'aser ani? And so that means is if a person did dikun to luf, it should also decide whether it's from which year it's from. So and you're in Amish, it's a machlokes. So the question is, for Tani, we have a brayse that says the following: hoyser shniya nechnas lishlishis. What happens if you have luf that's going from the second year growing into the third year? So the brayse says, einam erachnay. You should not do rikhun or dikun to it. You shouldn't trample the einam, and you shouldn't stop watering it. In other words, which will stop it from growing. You shouldn't finish off its growing in the second year. Why? Bishul shotei ma'aser ani. Because you should rather let it keep on going into the third year, because you want it to have the din of ma'aser ani to it. In the third year, it goes to ma'aser ani. And the Mishnah is telling you, you should let it do its thing, and therefore the aniyim will end up getting more. Because if you do the trampling in the second year, or you stop watering it, it's going to end up being considered produce in the second year, and the aniyim will lose out. It'll become ma'aser sheni instead of ma'aser ani. What happened to the opposite? Ho'aser shlishis, mechnas l'rvias. What happens if it's from the third year going into the fourth year? Then merachne u'moinu v'nemayim. Then you're encouraged, or you're allowed to trample it, and you're allowed to stop ordering it, but should say ma'aserani. So Fakir said it should become ma'aserani. No, they're supposed to do things to help encourage the aniyim to make that the produce should be the for the aniyim. So Hadar Amar Shadirichun Kiker. So you see in this mission, in this price, without argument, it says that trampling it is like pulling it out of the ground. That's how you decide it here, by if you pulled it, if you did the rechun to it. So it's not like the Gemara had said beforehand, because the Gemara had said beforehand that it was that the person had done that rechun is actually a machlokes in our Mishnah, and this price seems to take it on as obvious that rechun is not takes on as obvious that rechun is considered like a kira. Okay, so that's a kasha on the last two tirutzim of the Gemara, which supports the first tirutz of the Gemara that the machlokes has to do with something else, has to do with what to do if something you have to bear. Okay, now the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, where the Gemara Fudah learns, the Yerushalmi is not going to make a completely different point, and that is that, and in fact, this is with a line from the one of Lushal Ereshiyas, and we see like this, Rabbi Yisrael B'Shem Rablah says, that Tifter Sha'achun Achal Tzimchu, if you have luft that was from Ereshiyas, that was grown into Shviyas, that you pull it out of the ground using special, you pull it out of the ground with special tools. The Mishnah had machlokes, you have to maruf shaleitz or kadum shamatches. So that's talking about that you pulling it out before it had a chance to grow in Shemitah. And the reason is because had it had a chance to grow during Shemitah, then it would have kedusha shviyas to it. And if it has kedusha shviyas to it, then you should not be pulling it out with these special tools. You shouldn't be pulling it out so early. You should let it grow longer, and you shouldn't use these special tools, or else you're going to be matzah per shvius. Because things that grew in Shemitah, you're supposed to let them grow to the fullest extent possible. That's how the Marfolder learns. You're supposed to let them grow to the fullest extent possible, and therefore you would not be pulling them out right after Rosh Hashanah. Okay, and others, many others on this Rabbi Yosef B'Shem Rabbah is answering the previous kasha, but that's not, we'll say like the Marav Fulda, that it's a completely different statement. Okay, then the Mishnah had said, V'chem etzom ha-kitzenim, the summer betzom. So the Gemara says, what does that mean, kitzenim? And we translate it into the Aramaic with katinoi, or kaitinoi, which is the Aramaic word for summer. Okay, they're the summer onions, as we had said in the Mishnah. These are summer onions, so they started to grow in the summer, and they grow past Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah had said, if you have pua, this vegetable that grows on rocks, then you're allowed to use the kadum shamatras. And the Gemara explains that it doesn't have to be on rocks specifically, but it could be also pitra, which is dirt, which is hard and solid like rocks. So it's not actually rocks, but it's similar to rocks. You're allowed to do it because, again, the person digging into that ground, no one thinks that he's trying to soften up the ground for planting. It's not that kind of ground that anybody softens up for planting. But Tony, and we learned on this, Makam Shnol Gulach Rosh Achrosh, L'Nachesh Nachesh, and that means is, where Chaim Kaminsky learns is, that means is that a person, if it's a place where in order to get out the loof, the poor shatzlois and the batom hakitzim, when you get these out, yeah, the poor shatzlois, the way to get it out is through plowing or like weeding. You're using tools that appear to be the kinds of tools you'd use for preparing land. You can, if that's how people do it in that place, you're allowed to do it because, again, no one's going to think you're trying to work the ground because it's just not that kind of ground. Nobody works ground, this really hard, solid ground. Nobody works it in that way. Okay. The end of the Mishnah said that when could a person take luf in the eighth year? And Rabbi Yehuda had said that you could take it right away, you could buy it right away. So the Yerushalmi is my time to Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason that Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to buy the luf right after Shemitah? Why aren't you choshesh that this is luf that was grown during Shemitah? Why are you allowed to assume that this is luf from after Shemitah? So the Yerushalmi says, Gazrav a luf, like Gazrav a yara. Since there's a gzera on luf, as we saw in the Mishnah, that on luf, you have to dig it out with a special kind of a shovel. You have to do it in a very unusual way. And therefore, since there's a special rule by luf that you have to do that, which not by the legozrel yet, but other vegetables don't have that halacha, but since there's this rule that you have to take out the luf with a special shovel, people would not want to use that method. It's really bothersome to take out the luf in that way. And therefore, You don't have to worry that someone took it out during Shvi'ez. It must be produce from after Shvi'ez. Now, from here we see, this is where the deek is, that even Beis Hillel holds you have to do a little bit of a shinui, because Rabbi Yehuda is, of course, even going according to Beis Hillel, and Rabbi Yehuda said, here the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yehuda is dependent on there being a shinui, and it's something unusual. Okay, so the Gemara is now, me'ata fiu b'shvi'ez yehimotar. If so, maybe you should be able to eat loaf on Shvi'ez also, and you shouldn't have to be choshesh at someone that it's svichin. Why do we say that? You shouldn't have to be choshesh at someone poked out of the ground on Shvi'ez. Why should we say that? Because if nobody wants to use these special tools, if that's what we're saying, nobody wants to harvest with these tools, then this, when you see someone selling loof on Shvi'ez, we should say, this loof must be from before Shvi'ez. That's why it's here. Because nobody would want to pull it out with these tools on Shvi'ez. That's not what we just said. So the Gemara says, no, you're making a mistake. But Talmud on Kaiman. That if you're buying it on Shvi'ez, the only way for it to be mutter, it couldn't have grown after Shvi'ez. It's on Shemitah itself. So it must be talking about the Taman Aron Kaiman. It must be talking about that you're assuming that this is loaf that's been sitting around since before Shvi'ez, and it's been Taman, it's been hidden. It's like we had in the beginning of the Mishnah. You store them on the ground. So if that would be true, that we're talking about produce that have been sitting, that you're thinking that maybe it's stored, then we have to be concerned that the person will say he took it from the stuff that was stored from before the year before him. So the Yerushalmi means to say is like this. If you're buying it on Shemitah, that it's possible that a person would dig it out with these unusual tools in this hard, difficult way, but he could sell it right away, then maybe he'll do that. He'll dig them out with these special tools. It's not easy, but he would do it and then pretend that it was from before Shemitah, and therefore you would not be allowed to buy it. But if it's after Shemitah, you're holding... That is to say, you're choshesh that someone pulled it out of the ground a few days ago, just when it was still Shemitah. At that point, nobody would pull it out of the ground at the end of Shemitah and then hold it for 2-3. He might pull it out of the ground and sell it right away. But to pull it out of the ground and hold it after Shemitah, nobody would do that, because he would just wait until Shemitah was over. Because if you pull it out of the ground after Shemitah is over, then it doesn't have Kiddush Shvi'ez, because it has no special avachos to it, because it is... it would be the produce of the eighth year. So if it was holding that, it was so close, if you're buying it after Shemitah, that means that you suspect and someone pulled it out beforehand during Shemitah. At the end of Shemitah, nobody will pull it out with these tools, because he knows if he waits a little bit, he'll be able to pull it out in the regular way. But on Shemitah, we are choshesh that someone would do that, because fakir, he would pull it out and sell it as if it was from six-year produce. So now we understand why Rabbi Yehuda says you can buy it right after Shemitah, because you can assume that nobody who has produce for sale right after Shemitah would have pulled it out on Shemitah, because then you have to use these special tools. Tani, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ma'aseh shehayinu be'in Kushan, we were in this place called In Kushan, v'achalnu luf up here of Tarfon, b'metzoy achak shel metzoy Shvi'ez. It was metzoy Sukkos, the last end of Sukkos, just after Sukkos, on the year right after Shemitah, and Rav Tarfon told us we could eat luf, which supports what Rav Yehuda says in the Mishnah, that you could buy it right away, you don't have to wait until there's more eighth-year luf. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, no, I'm sorry, Imcha, you see, I was with you that time, it wasn't Matzoy Sukkos, it was Matzoy Pesach, which is months and months later, and of course, by that time, everyone would agree that you're allowed to buy luf, you can assume it's for the eighth year.